You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At The Podium. This is episode 8.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow my work on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL, as always, bleedinggreennation.com. Look, we have Golden Tate. He is now a Philadelphia Eagle after the Eagles trade a third-round pick to the Detroit Lions to acquire the wide receiver to add to their depth at the wide receiver position, give Carson Wentz another weapon. So what we have on tap today for press conferences: first, the typical Doug Peterson press conference from Monday, where he goes over updates on injuries and thoughts on the team moving forward and all that. But the main course is Howie Roseman talking about how he acquired Golden Tate right before the trade deadline in a very aggressive move. It's a win now move. Let's see how it pans out, but let's hear from the man himself how that trade came about, why it made sense for him. So first we're going to have Doug Peterson, and then the second press conference will be Howie Roseman. We will be back later today with the Kist and Solak show to talk about how Golden Tate fits in with this offense, what it means for the other players, for the other wide receivers, the tight ends, the weapons in this offense, how they all work together, how we think they should use Golden Tate, where he wins and whatnot. We also had the emergency show that dropped yesterday talking about our immediate reactions to the trade when it happened. Make sure you go check that out. We get into some details there too. So check that out. But for now, let's get to these press conferences.
Next man up. Good afternoon.
How's Lane doing?
As of this press conference right now, because of the lateness of getting back, we pushed our treatments back, so I don't have any updates at this point.
So I can't update you on that. Same with Jalen?
Same with Jalen. Yeah, all the guys that got nicked up in the game.
I know the IR decisions are coming up. Is there anybody?
You have an IRA?
the injured reserve guys, you have a lot of them. Is there anybody that is close in your estimation to being active?
Yeah, we got a couple guys that that we're going to evaluate here in the next couple of weeks. But Richard Rodgers is one of those guys. He got hurt in preseason, and so he's getting close. Mac Hollins is there. You know, Mike Wallace is going to be, a little bit later because of the lateness of his injury. And then, of course, being on the active is Sproles. Sproles is another one that we're going to continue to monitor each day, each week. And, these guys are doing a heck of a job with their rehab. Obviously, they want to get back out on the field. And we got some time this week to get them ready and see where we're at next week.
Among the running backs, if you look at the group this year compared to last year, LeGarrette last year really gave you a strong, short yardage kind of force kind of guy. Do you think you have that? Are you hoping Josh can be that guy? Where do you think those yards?
I think we have that guy. If you watch and go back and watch the game, I called a few more third and two, third and three runs in the game that we converted. And of course, Josh was in the game at the time. Wendell had some tough run. He had the tough run at the end of the game to ice the game, basically. So we're very comfortable. Corey is another one that can get us those yards. And really, a lot of that starts up front. I thought our offensive line blocked extremely well against a tremendous front against Jacksonville. And I feel real comfortable with the guys we have back there.
You mentioned that you hope this trip would be kind of galvanizing for the team. Are there signs that it was that?
Yeah, I think I honestly, the way the way we played for four quarters. You saw the enthusiasm. You saw the excitement with the players, the team, you know, afterwards. Just, I mean, we were together for about, you know, 2.5 days, really. And it's really good to be able to do that. Now, this is why it was a great trip, great timing for the trip, obviously. And the guys handled their business extremely well, treated it like a business trip, like we always do. We won on the road in an environment that can be kind of universal both ways, but felt like we had a really good contingency of Eagle fans there that really helped us too.
What was that flight home like?
Long. No, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Guys were relaxed and just sort of talking about plans this week and just. I think just having the time off is really, really crucial, and it was a great trip back.
As far as the running backs, back to them for a little bit, was Josh getting the extra touches? Was that a game plan thing or sort of a field thing because he got going early on?
It's some of his game plan, and when Deuce and I look at the run game after Coach Stoutland puts the plan together, Deuce and I will sit down, more Deuce really, and he starts putting – who he wants in on certain runs, and Josh had a few more this week, and quite frankly, the second half of the game we utilized one run scheme, just a couple different formations, and Josh just happened to be the hot hand at the time, and did some nice things, but it's something that we continue to look at each week and try to get all the guys involved if we can.
The argument could be made that right now the second half of your schedule is tougher than the first half. What area do you think you guys need to improve in the most going into the second half of the season?
Well, I think that, we have to continue to get better on third down, even though we were pretty good in the game the other day. Red zone efficiency has got to improve the second half of the season. We've got to score more points. I mean, those are things that I take note of, obviously. And as a play caller, I get to control that some, but... You know, and then, defensively, I think our red zone defense is playing extremely well. We're holding teams to 3 and not 7, which is really good. So we just got to keep improving. We got to get better. Hopefully, we get some guys back healthy, the second half of the season. And we know our division. We got 5 division opponents in the next 8 weeks. And so that's a challenge, but everything's right in front of us.
With the trade deadline coming up tomorrow, do you anticipate moves with the Eagles?
Well, let me say this, that I'm very confident and comfortable with the guys we have, very confident in those guys, and it's a group. We're constantly looking. If we can add value, if we can add talent anywhere on the team, we're gonna look at that, how he's going to look at that. And so we'll see. We got a little time here in these next couple of days, but, if it values the Eagles and helps us win games, we'll see.
How have the injuries played into that?
You gotta look at it a little bit, from an injury standpoint, because we have missed, some guys first part of the season. I don't think that's the sole purpose for, making a move. I think it has to be. One, it has to be the right person, has to be a good character fit, has to fit what we do offensively. And if it values us and helps us win games, then we'll stay aggressive that way. And that's always been our mindset.
Versatile pieces on the offensive line. V had to play right and left tackle. Isaac had to kick out. Wiz had to play center and left guard. How important is it to have those guys that can move around?
I mean, you hit it. I mean, that's so important. Lane goes down early in the game, basically first series of the game. He's down. So Big V's in there. Then JP comes out. It's a credit to, one, the player. Then it's a credit to, Coach Stoutland and Eugene and the guys for getting the next guy ready to go each week. I mean, it's been sort of impressive to watch that whole thing take shape, because now Isaac's out there playing right tackle, who took no right tackle reps during the week, and he's playing right tackle. Then he has to come back and play left tackle or left guard. Wiz is in the game, so then Big V's in the game and finishes at right tackle. So these guys really, it's important to have flexibility there and versatility there. We know JP's a left tackle. We know Kelsey's a center, right? We know Lane's a right tackle. But to have your next guy, you know, Brandon Brooks is your right guard, but to have those swing guys is so valuable, and it paid off for us in the game.
Does that impact your play calling at all when you're like, oh my gosh, I got all these?
You know, early when the new guy comes in, you want to make sure he settles into the game. So you might call a run or two a little bit more, or maybe a quick pass or something like that, that just to kind of get them settled in, the speed of the game, get caught up. But you know, after that, man, it's still back on task at hand, and you know, maintaining the same game plan.
Corey Clement had such an impressive out of nowhere rookie season last year, and I guess there was some outside expectation that he would take more leaps forward. Considering the injuries that you've had at running back, what have you made of his second season so far?
He's been great. He's been doing everything we've asked him to do. Of course, he was nursing an injury, you know, first part of the season, training camp, and all that, and he's bounced back from that, and you know, he's done a great job. Plus, he's playing special teams, so he's a valuable part of what we do, and a huge part of our success a year ago, and obviously this year.
Doug, why was he addressing the turnovers with Wentz? He's had quite a few this year too during the game.
I mean, you know, obviously the ball security thing. I mean, that's you can see with his mobility and being able to move the pocket and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, we keep talking about that, and one thing that, you know, yesterday we had the fumble, and then of course he had the pick. But listen, we just keep shooting, man. You know, we keep shooting. It's, you know, it's hard to take away the aggressiveness because you don't want to. But he knows he's got to protect the football. You know, we talk about it, and you know, we just keep on it.
Doug, the bye week seems to be coming at the perfect time. How important is it not just for everybody to heal up, but kind of emotionally, mentally, with the way the first half is going, to kind of get away from things for about a week?
I think it's important, coaches and players, quite frankly. You know, it's you know, this time of the season, everybody, it's a great time, you know, obviously to have a break, and everybody can kind of get away and sort of relax, enjoy family, friends, and you know, I'm going to get a chance to go watch our son play college football this weekend, so it's exciting for us. But get away, get rested, get healed. Guys are in here getting treatment. You know, some guys are traveling, some guys aren't, you know, but it's a good time. Good time to be around family.
When we get close to the trade deadline like this, what's your role in that whole process? Does Howie say, here are a few guys we're thinking about and you look at tape, or does it not get to that point until talks are heavier?
You know, it's hard, you know, because we're game planning and stuff leading up to all this, you know, for us to spend a lot of time evaluating, you know, players and all that. But yeah, Howie and I have been, you know, direct communication, and talking about certain things and you know, scenarios or what this, that, and the other. But if he has a handful of guys, you know, whenever you can find time, you look at them and see if that person fits, you know. So that communication's always there. And it's really been a good process. What's that?
Do you bring up needs with him? Like if there's a position you think could.
You know, I think one of the things that he and I think we're both on the same page with all that, you know. And we look at our roster, and again, if it's an area that can help us win games in these next 8 weeks and then hopefully beyond, you know, we're gonna maintain that aggressiveness and just like we did with Jay, you know, a year ago, and helped us win a championship. So, you know, that's all part of this process.
With respect to the fumble that wasn't by Josh, how do you evaluate that? Did you talk to him about it, say, you know, can't do that in this situation? Did you chalk it up to, you know?
Well, one, it comes down to a little bit of experience. You know, you hate to take, again, aggressiveness away from anybody on the football field and situations like that. Just, you know, we talked to him after that, just say, you know, you don't have to fight sometimes for the extra yardage, just kind of just go down. Now, you also have to be mindful of in a pile, that's when defenders begin to sort of rip at the ball. And those are all things that he'll learn from, you know, and I was fortunate that the play was overturned in our favor.
How many changes from your standpoint this week? Is it still sort of like a self-scout and then start preparing?
Yeah, we can do a little both. I think we've you know, as a staff, offense, defense, special teams, really go back and can focus on some areas, you know, in the first eight games that we either struggled in or had success in. learn from it and come up with a plan as we move forward. I think it's a great couple of days with no real, you know, game obviously this weekend, but to be able to look ahead to our next opponent in the Cowboys and kind of get a feel for them and put some thoughts on paper. So when the players come back that we can, you know, we can execute and start that process too.
Just one more about the running backs. Wendell, you know, didn't have as great a role last season. You went out and brought in some guys in Jay and LeGarrette. Where is he now? I mean, has he kind of grown into a more trustworthy kind of player for you guys?
We have a ton of confidence in Wendell. I've always, you know, you kind of saw what he did in training camp this year. It felt like he was one of those players. I've been there as a player too, where you're kind of your back's against the wall and you just come out swinging and see what happens. And he was one of those players this year that had a great training camp, and he's just been a steady player for us, and he's getting better and better. And, you know, we got a lot of confidence in him and ask him to do a lot of stuff, whether it's in protection or the run game, and made a, you know, really the screen was a great play by him, but the offensive line helped there. And then of course the run to ice the game. So this guy's been a valuable part to what we're doing.
Last one. How tough is it with the whole process when you have guys on IR who may or may not come back?
Well, the one thing with that and you know, is you got time with these guys that come back, you know what I mean? So you don't have to make a decision right away. So you get a chance to kind of see where the injured guys are at in practice and all that. And before you make any kind of decision. So, you know, you got a little time. You got a little time there, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming. I know it's been a long weekend with the trip. We traded today for Golden Tate from Detroit Lions. We're really excited to bring him to Philly. Fits what we do offensively, fits what we do from a character perspective, and can't wait to get him in here and for everyone in Philly to see what we're getting.
To trade a third-round pick for a player that age and last year's deal, what kind of message does that send to the team and to the fans?
Well, one, you know, he's 30 years old, a tremendously productive player. And at the end of the day, the price is what it is. You know, when you look around the league and what the market is for these guys, there's no one more productive than Golden Tate in the last, since 2012. He's in the top 10 in receiving yards, receptions. His run after the catch numbers are phenomenal. They're always at the top of the league. So we're really excited to get him. You're always trying to get the best price. There's no doubt about it, but we're not trying to win the trades. We're trying to get really good players. And the message to our fans, to our players, to our coaches, to everyone in this organization is our foot's always going to be on the gas. We're always trying to win. We're always going to try to put our best foot forward. And what we can do now is try to do that for this season and this moment. And that's what we're going to do, and that's our responsibility.
Can you take us through the process when the conversation started and kind of how this trade got finalized?
Sure. Lots of conversations over the last month or two, really, starting at Final Cuts and continued conversations with people. I could tell you that our staff has talked to every team in the league. Any player that you could imagine we'd be interested in, we've inquired about. That's our job. We do our due diligence on all of that and have had conversations with the Detroit Lions and their general manager, Bob Quinn, who does a heck of a job for them, and just kind of continue those conversations. And it got to a point where we had to weigh the prices of everything that was on the market and look at what would it be if we did nothing. And we felt like this was a really good move for our football team and a move that we were really excited about.
Tate's one of the league's top third down receivers, Howie. That's an area you guys have been kind of up and down this year after a really good year as a third down team last year. How did that play into the appeal of bringing him aboard?
Yeah, certainly a big factor in terms of improving our weapons and our supporting cast around our quarterback. We know we got good players on offense already. You know, we got a great coaching staff who puts them in the right positions. And when we had this conversation, a big part of it is talking to our coaches and asking them what their vision is of Golden and how they would use him. And when you talk to them and see the excitement on their faces for getting him in here and the way they can get him involved and also the opportunities to open things up for our other players. It was really exciting just to hear that, and you know, that's why we pulled the trigger.
Howie, as far
as you mentioned how the coaches are going to use him traditionally. He's excelled in the slot, sort of what Nelson is very effective at as well. Is that a bit of a redundancy or just adding good players?
No, you have versatility there. You know, all those guys can play inside and out, and that's the excitement that our coaches have, is that you're not just having one guy lined up in a particular situation and defenses know this guy's going to line up there. And for us, that's another part of the excitement of bringing this guy, is his inside-out versatility. Same with Nelly, his inside-out versatility. Alshon lines up inside and out, and our coaches have a game plan for all those guys. Certainly our tight ends in the middle of the field and the damage they can do. And we're going to get some guys back too. So we want to be multiple on offense. We want to be a handful for defensive coordinators. And this guy is a heck of a player, and I think our fans are going to be really excited to see him. In Eagles Green.
Having the draft picks that you have, the wealth of draft picks that you have, did that make the price a little bit easier for you guys in negotiations?
I'll tell you what, you know, it's like you could look at it one of two ways. Sometimes you kind of, when you have money in your pocket that you're given, you kind of sit there and you go, well, this is extra money. You know, it's found money and I'm going to use it like that. But the way we look at it is, you know, we had this extra pick, but it was our pick. So it wasn't one that we were just going to say, hey, because we have an extra two, we're just going to be flipping about how we throw picks around. It was about the value of this player for our football team, what we think he could do for us, and obviously the market that was going on at this time. And we know that it wasn't a cheap price to pay, but again, we're not trying to win the deal. We're trying to win games.
As a follow-up to the first question, I guess a better way to ask it is, it seems that this trade really indicates at 4-4 you feel like you're very much still a contender. Is that accurate?
Oh, there's no doubt. We have a lot of confidence in our players and our coaching staff. Has everything gone exactly the way we thought this year? No, I don't think any season does. But we think we have a really good football team, and we're adding a really good player. And, again, we're going to keep our foot on the gas, and that's our message. That's our message to our fans. That's our message to our organization. And we're not going to sit on our hands and you know, when you get an opportunity, it's hard to find really good players, and this is a really good player who really fits kind of this culture and this community, this city. He's a hardworking, determined guy with a lot of passion, a lot of energy, and what he does with the ball in his hands is special.
At this time last year, after trading for Jay, you emphasized the trade was not just for that season. It was not a rental, but going forward. How do you reconcile the fact that he only has 8 games left on his contract?
Yeah, that's part of our analysis. Certainly, when you're looking at it, you have to balance the fact that he's going to be a free agent. And we have a bunch of free agents here. But we did all of that research and background onto the ramifications of which way this can go. And we were comfortable with it at the end of the day. You know, it's hard to make a trade where you're just jumping up and down and feeling like, you know, you won the trade. A lot of these trades, they're tough decisions. And the hardest trades, the ones that are the most fair, are the ones that are hard to pick up the phone and say, done deal. And certainly the compensation for the Lions was a good price for them too. But we're really happy to get the player.
What makes you comfortable that he can come in at this stage in the season, pick up the offense, and pretty much in position where he has to contribute right away for it to, you know, be a good trade?
Yeah, we try to do our background and research on players. Certainly we do a lot in college, and then as much as we can under the radar, so we're not alerting things and certainly not tampering with any player or any team. But we know this is an incredibly smart guy, incredibly hard worker, and we feel very confident that a lot of things we are doing here are things that he's done in the past, and that the bye week certainly helps. I mean, this isn't a situation where we're getting a guy on Tuesday and he's got to come in and play on Sunday. We have a little bit of time to get him up to speed, and during the season, the playbook gets a little smaller because it's all game plan specific, so I think that will help him too.
Hey, Howie, how much has this league changed as a whole over the past few seasons? You see more deals. This division alone, Washington made a move. Dallas made a high-profile move. Giants are selling. The old school was sort of like, this is not a plug-and-play league. Is that changing?
I don't know. You know, I think that people, because of the amount of salary cap room that's available, I think people are more open to making deals. At the same time, I think it's got to help those particular teams. So it's all dependent on the particular names and the particular compensation involved. I think there are probably more deals today than there have been in the last few years. on a trade deadline day. And I think it's also because the league is compressed. I mean, there's a lot of teams kind of stuck in the pack and trying to separate themselves, and where we are, it's not even Halloween. So it makes it fun. It definitely does. But we did this trade because we think it helps our football team. And that was really our major concern here, is just trying to help our team.
What kind of efforts were there to get other positions? Why wide receiver over running back, D-back, D-line, corner?
Yeah, again, as we talked about here, there was no question about the efforts we've made here in the last couple of weeks. And then we just try to find the best player that fit our system and that fit our culture. And when we looked around, it's a supply and demand market, and you got to deal with what the supply is on the market and then whether you're willing to pay the price. And so for us, this was a player who's a playmaker. You know, you just can't put him into a position. It's he's so good with the ball in his hands. He can play inside and out. He's got return experience as well. So, you know, he doesn't just fit in a box, and he can help in a lot of different ways. And then when we look at our skill positions as a whole and maybe some of the guys we got coming back, we're really excited to get going here for the second half of the season.
As a follow-up to that, a two-part roster question. What's this mean for Mike Wallace and Matt Collins first? And then second, what move was made to get Golden on the roster?
So I'd answer generally in terms of injuries. I'm not going to discuss any specific injuries, but certainly in constant communications with our medical staff about when guys are coming back, and we want to add to this roster. We're optimistic that we're going to add internally to this roster. And, you know, for us, when we were looking at this moment in time, it's not only this move that we're making, but some guys that we anticipate coming back for the second half that we think are really going to add to our team. They're almost like making additions without giving up the draft pick.
There's still plans. There's still potential plans that happen.
Oh, there's no doubt that there are guys that we have to return to play spots that we can use. And we're going to get guys healthier here in the second half, and we're excited about that. In terms of the roster move, we've made a roster move. We want to communicate it to the player first, so I just want to be respectful of that, and we couldn't get in touch with them.
How much is the compensatory pick kind of that factor into your analysis when you do have a guy who could potentially leave after 8 games?
Yeah, I think last off season was the first time we spent time and effort on the compensatory system, and going forward, that's something that we're going to have to look at, and we're looking at it as we evaluate our roster and think about our picks going forward. And we anticipate we're going to get some good ones this year. We do have a bunch of free agents after this year, and when we sit down in the off season, that's going to be part of our calculation and a formula, and certainly part of our analysis whenever we acquire anyone or think about signing or extending players at this point and in March when we get to the free agent market.
The logistics of the London week kind of delay any potential deal of happening just of all the stuff that goes on during that time?
No, you know, I think the interesting thing about London is, like, we get this, like, five-hour head start on the day. So it's different than being on the West Coast where you're playing from behind. You know, we were kind of ahead. So I know I was sitting on my phone, and I'm going, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., bad time to call. Yeah, that's probably not right now. So I don't think it was any factor other than coming home Sunday to Monday. So excited, very excited. A lot of happy people upstairs, and our owner's very excited about it too. This is a guy that we've had so much respect for as a competitor, and playing against him and watching him play and seeing him in cross tape, and just fun. I think our fans, our team, just getting him here, seeing what he brings on the field, off the field, to the practice field, the competitiveness. You know, that's what we're looking for. Not that we don't have it now, but it's just going to raise the level of everyone. So excited to acquire. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all flyers, all the time show. So much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.